Blog Talk Radio.
He didn't know what judgment Allah has in him. If Allah won't talk to him, all Allah would talk to him, he would have sent him right, quick as he can go. Go, Allah wants you. Can we slaughter meat? We are to slaughter our meat with the sharpest knife. We can't cut an animal's throat or chicken's neck with a dull knife. The Muslim is obligated to use the sharpest knife to cut the animal's throat because we cannot put pain and bring suffering to the animal. It has to be real quick without pain. Or you might say, well, how you know how to, I know how the world has taught you to think. How you know how the chicken feel when you cut its throat? Well, we know sawing on it won't make it any better. See, that's all you can say to the folks like that. We have to know what manner of man Allah wants us to be. We want him to have to know what person Allah want on this earth. If we are Muslim, shouldn't we want to know how Allah want us to be? Yes. We cannot be given to cruelty. What went on in Iran was not Islamic. All that torturing and carrying on, that's not Islamic. What the Shah did was not Islamic. And what the present order has done, I don't know whether Imam Khomeini is responsible for all that or not. But what the present order has done in an effort to try to rectify that is not Islamic. Neither have been Islamic. We read in the Quran where the warning is given to the rebels that if they don't cease, their limbs are going to be cut off on opposite sides. And we take that literally and take that and we understand that as an instruction to Muslims, which it is not. It's telling us what happened in the Israelite family under Moses, under their leaders. And it's a solemn warning to the Jews who were at that time trying to put out the light of Islam, trying to do away with the Muslims. It was a subtle warning to them that look at how you were dealt with. Look at what you believed in as justice. And you got a man who's merciful and kind. We don't do things like that. We don't torture you. Be thankful that this is Muhammad and not one of your rabbis leading this army. That's what it was for. And we don't understand. Even the Muslims of God, they don't understand it. You have to read the Quran in its context. Whatever that is being discussed, read it in its proper context and see it in the full context. And when you read it, you'll see that the laws of other people are being discussed. And at the end it says, and everyone has been given a law. The Jews their law, the Christians their law, the Muslims their law. Even the cutting off of the hand. So that's cruel to cut off someone's hand if he steals. To cut off his hand, that's cruel. Cruel by whose standard? Cruel in what context? We ain't got nobody stealing. This is a good society. Few people stealing once every other month or year. And you cut off somebody's hand for stealing? That's cruel. What if you got people stealing out here every day? And killing people that they rob? People don't have no money to pay their rent. They lose their whole house because the person stole everything they had. Suddenly the family and everybody is put at the mercy of the taxpayers. No, the mercy of Reagan, who represents the taxpayers. Suddenly they put it at the mercy of people like that. When just yesterday they were doing fairly well, living it with ease, with considerable ease. And all of a sudden, because some crazy thief came in, the whole family is miserable. I say in that context, cut the hand off. And you don't cut his hand off in secrecy, because the cutting of his hand is not so much a punishment to him as it is a warning to the whole society. You have national television. National TV. Person can't turn on Mickey Mouse or nothing else. They got to watch the hand be cut off. That's right. And then you state the crime. You tell the crime the person committed and cut his hand off. Quick and clean. Don't saw it, because that's not Muslim-like. Quick and clean. Cut it off. That's right. Oh, yeah. We should also know that there is another meaning. There is a higher meaning for that particular verse. Although I'm saying the first literal meaning is accepted. That measure is not extreme in the face of the extreme cruelties we suffer in this world because of theft. The prevalence of theft. Now, the other meaning is this. Cut off the hand, the yet. What is the hand? Cut off the yet. Cut off his hand. It means deprive him of the means. Get rid of the means or the circumstances that is making possible that act.
Yes, sir.
So the wise man in Islamic jurisprudence, he knows that he just can't look at this individual thief. He has to look at this act in the circumstances of that time and reality that that person lives in. And if circumstances beyond that individual's control have brought on his criminal behavior, then the jurisprudence requires of the jurors in al-Islam that they address themselves to the environmental conditions that's making that man act like that. Yes. That's cutting the hand off. That's cutting the big hand off. Let me check the time here. Just see, a preacher, he can't do this. He destroyed his whole form. But a teacher can do it. Can't see as good as I used to. That's 225, I think. All right. He said, go on, preach on. I just want you to know what he's saying up here. He's talking to me, but I'm going to let you know what he's saying. He said, go on, preach on. All right. Preaching is indoctrinating. Preaching is making noise. Preaching is alarming. Preaching comes from the word crow, rooster, crow. You see how I'm teaching? And from the dog howling. You've seen dogs howl. Dog, when a dog really is confused, he doesn't look down or out. He looks up. Woo! Go back and tell them the master's on the scene. Not God, not the holy man, the good man. We have to keep the Islamic character before us so we can conform to that. And in conforming to that, we distinguish ourselves among people as being the true people of God. We want to be right. We don't want no fake society. Pretenders. People just wearing a fad or fashion or style for a time. We are not given to fads. We are given to pleasing God. And this can become unfashionable for all of you. And still you'll find people like me without change. We don't change. We come to another question in religion for us, and that is forced conversion. Among the many lies that have been told to turn the people's interests away from Islam, al-Islam, and the Muslim world, the Muslim people, is that lie that al-Islam, the religion, was established by the sword. That anyone who would not become a Muslim, he was killed. Prophet Muhammad and his armies killed them for not becoming Muslims. Yes, that's the lie. Part of the crusade strategy, war strategy, of the Western world in their fight to keep this religion from the masses of people. Yes, told that lie. History can prove that lie to be the lie it is. But that will require a lot of work, bringing the references forward to establish the truth. But it can be settled in just a few minutes. Because the Western world know and recognize and accept the Quran as being the highest authority in Muslim behavior. There ain't no authority higher than the Quran in Muslim behavior. And here is what Allah says in this book. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا. If your Lord had wished, everyone in the earth, all of them, every single one, would have been believers. أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Therefore will you bear on people until they become believers? Allah is telling Prophet Muhammad, don't even bear on them to make them become believers. Don't press them, don't bear on them. No. Again in the Quran it says, The religion is free. Whosoever want it, let him take it willingly. Whosoever dislike it, let him reject it. This is plain language in our book. No one is to be forced. You know propaganda. Propaganda to yesterday was no different than yesterday. They used propaganda to undermine the good efforts and the good image of their opposition. So you were in America and you have become Muslim, you have to understand that and never, never listen to anything this world says about Muslims. Do you think Russia, the communist people, will listen to what America's press is saying about communists? That's stupid. That's unthinkable. Oh, what kind of comparison is that? I thought we were all Americans, but we are not all Muslims, you nut. We have to deal with some religious fanatics. And they didn't just come about. They've been around here for centuries. Terrible religious fanatics who will tell the biggest lie, do the most outrageous thing to hurt the image of another religious people. Look how they treat each other. The Christian sects, look how they treat each other. One sect tried to embarrass another sect, discredit another sect, to get you to belong to that sect. Now you know what they'll do to another religion. Catch any Muslim quoting something the Western press or the Western writer said about this religion, I'm going to kick you right out of this community. That's right. You don't belong here. You're one of them. And one of the worst of them. Because the better Christians, they don't do things like that. They don't slander other people and other people's religions. It continues. وما كان لنفس أن تؤمن إلا بإذن الله. It is not possible for any person, anyone, to believe except with Allah's permission. So we want a certain person to be a believer. Sometimes it's a friend down the street, or the partner we used to run with, or the person we work with on the job, our child in our house, or maybe the wife or the husband. We want them to be a believer. You have no power to make them believers. You be a believer. You let your good conduct show. Let your faith be seen in your conduct. You be a good Muslim. That's the best strategy for conversion there is. Your own personal life is the best strategy for winning converts there is. So you got control of yourself, but you can't control the thinking and hearts of people. You can't force them to think or to act or behave in a way they don't want to. And if they don't want to, it's because Allah's judgment is on them. That's why they don't want to. It's because Allah's judgment is on them. They are not fit for the blessing of Islamic life. They haven't done enough in their own intentions to earn the blessing of Islamic life. And you try and impose it on them. No. Allah won't allow them to be Muslims until at least they have earned it with good intention. Let them first have good intentions, and then Allah will bless them with the faith. Yes. It continues. يَجْعَلُ الرِّدْثَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. This is God speaking, not me. I'm quoting the words of God, the words of Allah in the Quran, perfect book. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. No mistake in it. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It guides the God-fearing. Not any old sucker, just the God-fearing. As Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, you better be careful. Don't play with what I give you. Because it'll turn you around backwards in your head. Some of you might have seen that. Yes, I've seen it. No one can become a believer except with Allah's allowing it, except by Him permitting it. And again, if they count not your faith, your religion, as something given benefiting Allah. Says for you. Is that right? Yes. It is for you. Don't think you're becoming a convert or being a Muslim is something you've given Allah. It's a benefit to you. So it says, it goes on to say, and He brings wrath, affliction, punishment on those who have no sense. La yaqilun. It doesn't mean that they are ignorant because someone has neglected them. Doesn't mean they're ignorant because they haven't been taught. It means that they have an ignorant attitude. La yaqilun. They won't even respond to intelligence. That's exactly what it means. Aql means the brain. Aql means the brain. La yaqilun means they won't even respond to what's intelligent. I just want you to know what you're being called to. So if you are not one of those people, you can just go on about your business. We are calling people who have life in them, who have human life in them, or at least people who can be quickened back to life from death once we bring them in contact again with what is right. Now, those who can't be quickened back to life, get back out there in the graveyard, sucker. We don't have no place for you. I'm not going to hold you too much longer, just a little bit longer. Here is a saying of Prophet Muhammad reported by Hurairata radiallahu anhu, by Huraira. May Allah be pleased with him. Qala, that is Huraira said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Inna Allah Ta'ala Tayyibun La Yaqbalu Illa Tayyiban. The Messenger of Allah said, peace and blessings be on him, surely Allah Most High is good. He does not accept anything that is not good. You cannot do anything for Allah. You cannot give him anything that is not good. He doesn't accept it. Oh, I'm going to rob a bank for Allah and I'm going to give the money to the masjid. He won't accept it. Allah doesn't accept it. Oh, I'm going to sell stolen goods, but I'm going to give 5% to the masjid, to the Clare Muhammad School. Allah doesn't accept it. It has to be good. Tell you that. It has to be good for Allah to accept it. Oh, I have a strategy to trick people to come into the religion. Allah won't accept it. It's not good. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And surely Allah has enjoined the believers with the same that He enjoined the messengers. Meaning He has instructed us or ordered us just as He has instructed or ordered His messengers. وقال تعالى يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا. Oh, you messengers, eat of the good and lawful things and do righteous deeds. وقال تعالى, and the Most High says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم. The Most High says, oh, you who believe, eat of the good things of that I have provided you. Eat of the good things provided for you. This is what Allah says. Instructions to both the messenger and both the believers. The same instruction. Kulu min tayyibat. Eat of that is lawful and good. And to the messenger the same. Eat of that is lawful and good. Now we know every verse in the Quran has two levels translation. There are two levels of translation. Are two levels of expression, are addressed. There is the literal, then there's the higher, the deeper. All right? So eat ordinarily means don't eat pork, don't eat wild animals like the bear, or cats, or dogs, those that have claws, or attacking animals like eagles and stuff like that. So we have a long list of things we can't eat. Don't eat an animal that dies of itself. Don't eat an animal that died before the blood was drained properly. You see, rigor mortis set in before the blood was drained properly. We have a lot of dietary restrictions, is that right? So we know that it's applying to that on one level. On the first level, it's applying to that. This is the meaning we're supposed to get first. But there's a higher and deeper one too. What is the higher and deeper one? Don't take anything into your rational mind that is unlawful or that is not good or unlawful. That's the higher meaning. There are things we shouldn't drink. Don't drink them. But what is the higher meaning of don't drink them? Don't take anything into your spiritual self, to your spiritual sensitivities. Mm-hmm. That is unlawful, that is not good. Say, well, how can I take something into my spiritual sensitivities? I understand how I take something into my rational mind that is not right, but how do I take something into my spiritual sensitivities that is not right? Some of you already did it. You violated it. That's not right. That's not right. You're drinking something into your spiritual sensitivities that's going to give you to a spiritual behavior that's bad. And you know how it goes on. They get you first, then they drop the funk on you. They first get you in the sway, you see. You're captured by the swing, by the movement. They got you in the movement now. You can't get out of it. Your mind just swaying in the movement. They're rocking your brains to sleep. Then they say, get funky, baby. Funk, funk, down, down. Funk, 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 funk. And you just get funky on, and you just funk on down. Funk on down. Funky, baby. Funky, baby. Funky, baby. So shouldn't the leaders in Al-Islam be able to read both levels of understanding? If they don't, they are not qualified to be leaders. I was watching a program this morning on television, Channel 7, and I thought it was a very excellent program they had this morning. The host lady was Bilalian, and another lady, I believe she was Hispanic maybe, and they had different guests on. And all of the discussion that I watched, I thought was really beneficial, good. One was on the problem of public schools and rising interest in private schools and in home schools, parents taking that responsibility at home to teach their children. I thought it was very excellent. Because it was bringing out things that we need to know and need to accept the fact of. During one of these conversations, a lady was suggesting, she was a host, she was suggesting that one of the problems for women who have was suggesting, she was a host, she was suggesting that one of the problems for women who have the burden of, well, going on their own after having been used to being with a partner, a mate, a husband, and having his company and his strength to kind of lean on. So the woman was suggesting how best such women can cope. And she stressed good management of your money. That's what she was stressing. I said to myself, now if they could have programs like this to stress good money management for women before they divorce, they'll have the problem solved. Because most likely that's why most of them divorced. Because there wasn't good management in the house. Now she's telling the woman that lost her husband, woman on all, now she's telling the woman, you have to watch your money. You have to make value decisions. You can't get something just because you want it. You got to make a decision for the total picture. For you, your children, for the total picture. For the house, for you, for the children. Make your decision for the total picture. You have to learn to make value decisions. Why don't they tell these women that's getting married that? Why don't they make it a law that when the woman go to the court for marriage, the man tell them, now look, happy to see you come to get married. We would like to see it be a success. Then run all that down to that new couple before they get in trouble. That's right. And I listened to it. I didn't have to listen to it attentively. They do. I was reading and writing all at the same time. But I was listening to it and respecting what they were saying, giving it some due attention. And without even trying to nitpick, trying to scrutinize, or really piece apart what they were saying, my mind was just half on it. I could see that she wasn't even talking to Belalia. She wasn't talking to Belalia. She wasn't talking to the poor masses. She was talking to some rich person that doesn't live with somebody on upper middle class level or rich level, and now have run into a problem, you have to divorce, you don't have that man no more. Most of all, they're glad to get rid of the man. They don't miss no man. No, they don't miss no support from no man. Most of our women are glad to get rid of it. I know most of our women are watching that. They wonder what the hell that woman was talking about. But this is a serious problem. We get means and then throw those means right back into the circle of the power structure. Of those who will represent the power structure. We get it for a little while. We throw it right back into the circle of the power people. And we poor people, we people ain't got nothing. We never managed to get up or to make progress up from that level of economic dependency that the whole race is in. We don't get up because we are spending without sense. We are not spending with intelligence, light in the way, showing us where this money should go. Mm-mm. Girl, I saw a coat. I really like that coat. Girl, did you see that new car that got out, that France put out? Oh, I ain't going to be satisfied until my husband get that car. What kind of mind is that? And the same person that want to get that $20-some-thousand car, they can't live until they get that $20-some-thousand car. They ain't got a house. Ain't got a house. They renting. Really don't see their way paying their bills through two seasons. All they see is this month, maybe. That's right, just this month. They think they got a thing that might last, but they don't know. Might not even last beyond the season. But they will go out, they will get that desire for that car and got to get it. You say you love me? You think that car too good for me? You don't love me, nigga. That's okay, forget it. Then when he come home, when he go to bed, she sit up and read a book with all the lights on. And know he got to get up early in the morning and go to work. And he want to hurry up so he can get that sleep to go to work, okay? And she sit up there with all the lights on and read her book. And then when she can't do that no more, she put her book down, turn the TV off, and turn the record player off, and she turned the radio off, and she turned the lights off, and she turned her back to him. Yeah. And if he touched her with his knee or his foot or anything, hey, leave me alone, leave me alone, what are you doing? Don't do that, you disturb me, I'm trying to sleep. I'm tired. And he know what it is. She met somebody downtown that she hadn't seen in years. And that person said, you know, John, he got one of those new cars they got out, they made in Paris. Oh, I'm going to get my husband to get me one of those. I maybe saw it on the TV. I just walked down the street and saw it. Yeah. What kind of car is that? Oh, pushy, pushy. Oh, I'm going to tell my husband to get me a pushy, pushy. Hey, baby, have you seen the pushy, pushy? No. Look, I'm going to get you a book, a magazine, a book on it. I'm going to get you something on it. So here it is. I've got it. Don't you like it? Yeah. Man, no, he's barely paying the bills as is. Yeah. So will you get me that? Maybe we can't afford that car. Every time I ask you, nigga, for something for myself, you go into your bag. You don't love me. You don't love me, nigga. Yes, I do, baby. Yes, I do. That's all right. Forget it. Forget it. This desire to compete with the Joneses have moved up on a high stage now. It ain't no Joneses no more. These big manufacturers and their advertising arm, oh boy, they just go into your mind, go into your sensitivities, and have you struggling for false standards that have no reality in your real life at all, you know? So there's a high-stage thing they got operating. But what we do as Muslims, we have the answer. Allah says, compete, not with the Joneses, all together. Jamian. If I'm competing individually with you, an individual, or with the society as an individual, oh, that's a hopeless competition. Sooner or later, they're going to get the best of me. Nobody wins that but the big bosses at the top. They the one raking in the millions from that kind of hustle-bustle thing. Yeah, everybody else lose. But if I compete collectively, let us compete. Jamia, collectively. It's going to be all the members of this community. We're going to be competing. Who are we competing with? We are competing with other societies, other communities, to show them we can rise faster, better, and more solid ground, on more solid ground than they can do. That's the kind of competition he wants us to come into. A competition where we go all together. And we have, and our object is the same for the whole. Yes. So God, he calls us into a competition. He says, go race in a competition for all that is good collectively. For all that is good. Some translators say for excellence. go all together, collectively, in a race for excellence, or in a competition for excellence. Yes. Yeah. This is advice. And if we accept it, we will change our miserable state. Let us go on now. Competition. God calls us to competition. We know that competition is a precious principle in the American concept of economic life as well as total life of America. They believe in that principle of competition. Free enterprise and competition, free competition. The free enterprise, that concept itself is to protect the interest in a competitive society where people are competing. There is another call to balance that or to check that, because who knows? Maybe we'll get the idea that through this collective effort to excel in society, in the world, we can become the dominator. Because that's the trouble with the materialist powers of this world today. Their trouble is that they have gotten together, and believe me, they are racing collectively. These big multi-million and multi-billion concerns, they sit with each other. They have a collective concern, interest, and objective. Sometimes you can't hardly tell which one is advertising. They're so much alike, one advertised, another one come behind it, sound like the same one. And sometimes they don't care if you get confused, because they know either way you go, they got you. What checks that in us? Allah says, that special reward that he has in store for the faithful, none can get it who desires dominance or who desires corruption. Those are the two attributes that really speak for the greatest evils in the free, so-called free enterprise world. And not only that, in the political, in an international political world, those two attributes, they want dominance, and to get dominance, they will corrupt susceptible people in order to get that dominance. Do you think we could be dominated to the extent we are dominated? Do you think we could have been deprived of the authority in our lives to the extent we have been deprived of authority in our lives, if there wasn't some outside effort, some outside things working to do that? No, it wouldn't happen. This is no accident. This has happened because those big, powerful, materialistic concerns know that they can't sell their product forever unless they got some corrupt buyer. Don't you know you are corrupt when you ask for that pushy pushy made in France? You are corrupt. You're going to buy a $22,000 car and your neighbors are miserable. Your husband working two or three jobs. You working one or two. You're buying hot goods. You're already doing enough crooked things. Now you're asking for a pushy pushy that's going to make you have to upstage that criminal thing you already got going. Yeah. So actually you are corrupt when you ask for the pushy pushy. And they have made you corrupt because they know they can't sell those things to people that have no more means than we have unless they're first corrupt. First have to be corrupt. So Allah, in this Quran, 14 centuries ago, warned the Muslims of the evils that would be operating right today to unseat the intelligence and give the life to waste. Break up the family pattern, destroy the dignity of the family role. Allah already, 1400 years ago, gave us everything we need to deal with this situation. Yes. Desire no dominance. Desire no corruption in the land. But work all together in a healthy competition for all that is excellent and good. That's the answer. Sure answer. And again, Allah says that He calls us to a commerce that will please us. And what is that commerce? God says, call us to a commerce, a business venture. That's what it means, a business venture. He calls us to a business venture that we will be pleased with. And what is that business venture? That you first accept Allah. That you first love Allah. You believe in Him. Obey Him. And separate yourself from these worldly temptations. That's the bargain. That's the investment that He called you to, that He say will please you. Now how? How is Allah, tricking me? I want money. And Allah said, come into a business deal that will certainly please me. And He tell me the business deal is just that I be lawful and true to Him. And that I be willing to separate from the worldly things that hang on me. Desire for plenty of money. For good times. For many people under my control. These are the things that are named. Yes. So Allah said, come away from that. To an investment that will really please you. And you say, oh, I see it. God is saying the spiritual life, the inward life, is better than the outward. He's saying more than that. You are limited. He is saying that the misery of the common lot is because they have blind attachment to these things. So they will never have dignity. You know the real rich people at the top? They ain't crazy like us. Those who stay in control, all of them, they ain't crazy like us. They fool you. They want you to think they like that. They give a big party and you see all those big fancy cars rolling up. Most of those cars are company cars. Cars they just use for show off. The car that man normally rides is cheaper than the average car we have in our community. And the amount of food that his food bill is below the average one of our food bills. But he lives in a nice apartment, or he got a great house. That house is for his guests. That's to impress the people that he won't impress. Those that are dumb but got money. Those that don't last through the season of the order, they're just seasonal rich people. So he got that show thing for the seasonal rich people. Because they require that. They won't even respect him unless he got that. So they got that special thing for him. And they all got all kind of tax write-offs and stuff, but that thing don't cost them nothing. The showpiece costs them nothing. You can't deal with people like that unless you become Muslims and obey Allah. Oh, when will the Negro get up? Never! Until he accepts Allah and follow the Quranic teaching. Never! Well, can I do it if I become a good Baptist? It hadn't worked yet. It didn't work yet, not for us. And mind you, I'm not talking to just us. Because there are many of our Hispanic brothers and sisters out there. They need this as much as we do and more. Now, I'm going to read a couple more hadiths, and we're going to close out this part of the meeting. We have to battle these destructive tendencies in our people, self-destructive tendencies in our people. Some of us are giving too much to the sentimental, over-emotionalized life, where we become so sentimental that we become like sick milk sauce. And we think it's beautiful. I've seen the display of this kind of disgusting sickness in people. And I've seen others stand by observing it. Isn't it beautiful? And they get sick too. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, I can't help it. I can't help it. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And she's beautiful. She cried. And she's beautiful. That's a sickness. I'm not saying we're not supposed to cry. Well, we should be shedding tears all the time. That's right. We should come outside and go to work. Go to church. They say, what's the matter? When is our condition going to improve as a people? Yeah, we should be crying all the time. I'm not saying we shouldn't be emotional. We should. But here a sucker is. Excuse me for talking like that. And there is a sucker. You know, that's an old expression. We say a sucker, it means a fool. A fool for the game. Yeah. His family condition is miserable. His personal condition, miserable. His future, bleak, miserable. And his wife hear about something that happened to Lady Jane. Carter's wife or somebody.
I can't help it. She's such a beautiful person. Why I have to have it to her? Why I have to have it to her? Oh, God, oh, Lord.
Maybe it ain't a person like that on that high plane of respect. It might be one of the pop artists. You see? Somebody cursed them.
That's the sweetest person I ever met. I never knew a person sweeter than. Why would they do things like that?
And the other milk sob see him.
You see, she's crying. She's crying. Ain't she beautiful? Oh, she's so beautiful. I can't help it. Oh, my God. Oh, she's so beautiful. I love her. I love her.
It made us sick. They just influence us. They condition our sensitivities until we become insane in our emotional makeup. Emotional sensitivities become insane. Somebody in the nut house behaves like that, you would understand. You know, right away, you know, we all know. Those who didn't even take psychology. We know, you see the lion in the nut house. You know, the rolls fall off the window into the toilet, okay? Or into the spit tune. And the person in the nut house who used to be one of those lovers of aesthetic art. And the doctor come in, he knows wrong. He said, what happened? They said the rose fell into the spit tune. Darling, the spit tune is beautiful. Darling, the spit tune is beautiful. The spit tune, it gives life to the rose.
It does. Oh.
And next time he come here, she's throwing roses into the system. She ain't crying now. She ain't crying now. She's throwing roses into the system. That's the kind of world you live in. They ain't no doctors. They're manipulators, experimenters. They drive the masses crazy and then make a big buck on it when you come to the hospital. But what should we
your